And let us turn now to read together God's Word from Psalm 22. Psalm 22. Reading together the whole of the Psalm as our text, as our Scripture reading. This is a messianic Psalm of David, meaning that it describes our Savior, particularly His sufferings, in great detail. So let us read together Psalm 22. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, and I cry in the daytime, but Thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent, but Thou art holy. O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel, our fathers trusted in Thee. They trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee, and were delivered. They trusted in Thee, and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, He trusted on the Lord, that He would deliver him, and let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But Thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon Thee from the womb. Thou art my God and my mother's, from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be Thou not far from me, O Lord, my strength. Make haste to haste Thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for Thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. I will declare Thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation I will praise Thee. Ye that fear the Lord, praise Him. All ye seed of Jacob, glorify Him. And fear Him, all ye the seed of Israel. For He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, neither hath He hid His face from him. But when He cried unto Him, He heard. My praise shall be of Thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear Him. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek Him. Your heart shall live forever and ever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord. And all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before Thee. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship. And all they that go down to the dust shall bow before Him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve Him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that He hath done this. Thus far the reading of the Word of our God, may He add His blessing to it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at this psalm, it is a psalm of David, as we said. Excuse me. And it is a psalm in which David tells to us and prays to God concerning his great trial within this world. David's claims are hyperbole, exaggerations to make a point, but at the same time they are certainly representative of his sufferings upon this earth. Yet that hyperbole, that exaggeration, is what happened to our Savior on the cross and before coming to this world. And so, brothers and sisters, as we come before our God reading together His Word, As we look at our Savior, His suffering for us, the theme that we want to see is our Savior suffers the agony of hell for the salvation of His people. Our Savior suffers the agony of hell for the salvation of His people. In verses 1 through 11, we will see the suffering life of our Savior. In verses 12 through 21, we see the death of our Savior. In verses 22 through 31, we see that God's name shall be glorified in the redeemed. Our Savior suffers the agony of hell for us, for His people. First of all, we see the suffering life of our Savior. My God, why hast Thou forsaken me? First of all, we see what seems to be a contradiction. My God, and yet He is forsaken of God. We read in Matthew 26, verse 46, what Jesus said. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have You forsaken me? Brothers and sisters, certainly David, in his time of trouble, felt that God had forsaken him, perhaps. But at that same time, he relies upon Him as his God. And our Savior, upon the cross, giving His life, says, my God, why have You forsaken me? The closest thing we can see as a division within the Trinity. Now, there certainly was not one. But at that same time, Christ suffering the pains of hell is somehow, and we don't understand it, removed from the grace, from the love of God, and yet we can't understand that because He certainly is within it. Our brains don't get around it. We have to know Christ's sufferings for our sin were true and real and beyond our imaginations. Now David, in our psalm this morning, regards and remembers a history of relying upon the Lord. But Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel. Our fathers trusted in Thee, they trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. They cried unto Thee and were delivered. They trusted in Thee and were not confounded. Hoping in God's mercy, trusting in God, remembering what God had done for them. One example, Deuteronomy 10:21, He is your praise, He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things which your eyes have seen. Christ relies upon God, even crying out, my God, why have You forsaken me? He is God. He relies upon His divinity in paying the penalty of our sins. But I am a worm, verse 6, and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn, they shoot out the lip, they shake their heads, saying, He trusted in the Lord, that He would deliver him, let Him deliver him, seeing He delighted in Him. Christ, our Savior, a reproach, rejected. Isaiah 53, verse 3, He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. They shoot out the lip. They speak blasphemy against the Savior. He trusted in the Lord. Let Him rescue him. Matthew 27, 39 through 44. And those who passed by blasphemed Him, wagging their heads and saying, You who destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save Yourself. If You are the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, Himself He cannot save. If he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled him with the same thing, wagging their heads, saying, he trusted in God. And the very fact that he stayed on the cross demonstrates far further his love for us than that he would come down. He drank the cup of the wrath of God against our sins fully. Christ came to the world for that purpose. We have to understand that. Christ came to this world for God's purposes. That's what we read in verses 9 through 11. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Now David is trusting in God, who is in control of all the normal things that happen. The mother's love, providing food, all of those things. From being conceived onward, God provides for all people, and especially for His people. Psalm 71, verses 5 and 6, For you are my hope, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. By you I have been upheld from birth. You are he who took me out of my mother's womb. My praise shall be continually of you. Now Christ was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary. He came to this world. And that's what we see here. He came to this world so that we might have life. He lived here under the curse for our sins. Our Savior. And so that's what we see first of all in our passage. The suffering life of our Savior. Some people think, well, He suffered that death. That was the beginning and the end of it. Now, brothers and sisters, Christ's suffering started in His incarnation. He became man. Not that He became man was suffering, but that He became man under the law, under the curse. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And it is with amazement as we look at this passage we must see the accuracy, the exactness with which the prophecy is fulfilled in our Savior, and especially in His death. We look at verses 12 through 15. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. Christ was not somehow immune to suffering. I think sometimes we think that. He was not immune to the fact that He was crucified. One of the most painful deaths that we can imagine. That He was despised, that He was rejected. His life, His death here were great pains for Him. But even as we think about the physical pain, perhaps, of crucifixion, our minds must not stop there. Because He suffered the torment of hell that can't be shown physically for our sins. Notice that there are bulls and lions that David speaks of here. Yet the worst trial that we ever have upon this earth isn't worthy to be compared with the trials of our Savior. Being upon this earth, rejected, despised. The strongest bulls of land, bulls of Bashan. We read in Deuteronomy 32, verses 14, about Bashan. Curds from the cattle and milk of the flock with fat lambs and rams of the breed of Bashan. and goats with the choicest meats, and your wine, and you drank wine, the blood of the grapes. Compared to Christ, the strongest bulls are nothing. And yet He endured that. He endured those who mocked Him, who spit upon Him, who crucified Him, so that we might have life. Christ's way of death is prophesied here as well. I am poured out like water, verse 14, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and Thou hast brought me to the dust of the earth. Poured out like water. We saw that on the radio program not long ago, when He was pierced. John 19:33-34. But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was already dead, they did not break His legs. But one of the soldiers pierced His side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. But not only that, being hung on the cross is a matter of drying out. His bones were out of joint. Psalm 31, verse 10, for my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away. My heart is melted within me. A very accurate physiological description of what happens in crucifixion. Christ suffered crucifixion on our behalf. But as we said, the physical suffering must not be where our mind stops. That's the problem with things like the Passion of the Christ as a movie. All they can display is horrific physical pain. They can't show the enormity of what it meant that Christ bore our sins. My heart is melted within me. And yet Christ cries out, for dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, they pierced my hands and my feet again. I may tell all my bones, they stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Almost like you were reading from John. Exactly what happened. But this is 600, 700 years beforehand. David prophesies this. Our God answers the Savior, but Thou art not... Be Thou not far from me, verse 19, O Lord, my strength, haste Thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for Thou hast heard me. From the horns of the unicorns, horns of the altar, perhaps, is a better translation there. The Lord answers our Savior. David again reminds himself to trust in the Lord Christ. It was not possible for the pains of death to hold him. That doesn't mean that they had no power over him. In paying our very real debt of sin. But he could not be held by them. Acts 2, verse 24, Peter in his Pentecost sermon preaches, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. He suffered the pains of hell for us, brothers and sisters. The death of our Savior. The way of death prophesied. And His victory over death as well. That's what we begin to read, verses 22 through 31. God's name shall be glorified in the redeemed. We read in verse 22, I will declare Thy name unto the brethren in the midst of the congregation. I will praise Thee, ye that fear the Lord. Praise Him, all ye seed of Jacob. Glorify Him and fear Him, all ye seed of Israel. As those saved in Jesus Christ. as those for whom He paid our debt of sin. As we have just been seeing, our response ought to be great joy to tell all those around of the free salvation in Jesus Christ. Telling in the congregation, in the assembly, church. But everybody around as well, that's what we see as we continue. Christ declares this, His salvation, Hebrews 2 verse 12, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing praise to you. We are to declare that wondrous salvation, Psalm 40 verses 9 and 10. I have proclaimed the good news of righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not restrain my lips, O Lord, you yourself know. I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. Notice the passage says, verse 24, He hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath He hid His face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. Christ was in all points tempted as we are. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sins. He did not waltz through this life without trouble. His life had much greater trouble than our worst trouble. Hebrews 5 verse 7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Remember, that was in Gethsemane. We looked at that not long ago. He was in all ways tempted as we are. He cried out praying that there would be some other way, that he wouldn't have to go through this death. But he paid that debt because there is no other way. There is no other Savior. Yeah, people say, well, he couldn't sin. And that doesn't minimize what he suffered. He suffered for you and me, brothers and sisters, for all who believe in him. And so, Lord, so brothers and sisters, we are to declare the glory of our Lord. The kingdom of our God covers the earth. All the ends of the earth shall hear of Jesus. Genesis 22 verse 18. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. He's saying to Abraham, in Jesus, in your seed, Christ's return will not happen until every nation has heard and had the possibility of belief. Matthew 24, 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Every person will worship, either willingly or in rebellion at judgment. Every person will worship. Romans 14 verse 11, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall confess to God. Brothers and sisters, we are to tell of His salvation. Christ suffered for us. The saved, we read in verses 30 and 31, will tell of our God's salvation. A seed shall serve Him. And it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare His righteousness unto a people that shall be born that He hath done this. We are to declare this to our children, to our children's children. The next generation will hear. We are to declare this to everyone. The free salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. That he ends verse 31, that He hath done this. What did He do? Christ suffered for our sins. Christ gave this, His life. Christ came to this world and suffered here. For you and I. So that we might have life. Brothers and sisters, as we look to Christ, as we see Him upon the cross, as we see our Savior, He suffers the agony of hell for the salvation of His people, for you and me. As we said in the canons of Dort this morning, God chose out of the general malaise of sinners to save. And brothers and sisters, that is the wonder of God's grace. That God saves sinners, you and me. Amen.